Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Well, today I want to focus and have a conversation about the distinction of belief. The title of my message is called The Distinction of Belief. The distinction of belief. Life is compiled of dualistic tensions. Life is compiled of dualistic tensions. You have life and you have death. You have righteousness and you have sin. You have friends and you have adversaries. You have prosperity and you have lack. You have blessings and you have curses. Life is compiled of dualistic tensions. And today I want to talk about a dualistic tension that we find ourselves in. And that is that we exist in the blessings and the promises and the provision that God has for our life. Yet at the same time, we have what I call a desert area in our life. A desert area in our life. Life is compiled of dualistic tension. And see, our life experiences, our seasons that we experience in life are held within these tensions. And every single one of us, we are all recipients of God's goodness. Amen? We are all blessed because of the Lord. Amen? But at the same time, I believe that every single one of us has a desert area in our life. See, the desert area in our life is an area where there's no growth. There's no vitality. The thing that should be performing is not performing. The growth that you are looking for is not there. The vitality, the inspiration, the enthusiasm, the life that you're looking for simply doesn't exist. The desert area is unresponsive. It's dead. It's dry. It's a land of decay. Amen? The thing about the desert area is that it seems to cast dust and dust every other area in our life. Where it's hard for us to recognize the goodness of the Lord because the dust from this desert area seems to cast itself over everything that God has done. And it seems to us that it's hard for us to locate the goodness of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, because of all this dust from this dry area seems to cover it up. And what happens to us spiritually is we then fail to recognize the goodness of God in our lives because of this desert area. This dirt, this grime, this dust is really all of the emotions that are associated with the desert area in our life. The frustration, the anxiety, the letdown, the wondering if this will ever change. Desert area of our life. Ladies and gentlemen, life exists in the middle of these dualistic tensions. Amen? And we will always have these dualistic tensions as long as we are alive. And the day that we pass this earth and stand in the completeness of the new kingdom come, then the tensions are lifted. But until then, our reality, our existence is in between these tensions. Amen? And I want to talk today about the reality of existing in the blessings of the Lord and yet at the same time having this desert area. And I believe that this conversation is a reality for every single one of us in this room. I don't think that there's one person in this room that says, well, really everything in my life is perfect. I really don't have a desert. If that's you, we are asking you to leave. I believe this conversation is a reality for all of us. Amen? And I believe that God gave me a word today that's going to provide some definition on why the desert area exists. And my hope is that you will gain some understanding and awareness about this desert area in your life. Now, life gives us this funny illusion that whatever season we find ourselves trekking in today, we feel like it's going to be like this forever, right? Like if you are in a season of blessings and you feel like everything you touch turns to gold, there's this illusion and lie to it that says, you know what, it's going to be like this forever. See, in every season of blessings, you have to understand that the opposite season exists. The opposite reality exists. There are blessings and curses. Amen? Friends will arise and you will gain new friends, but there will also be adversaries in your life. The opposite does exist. No matter what season you find yourself in, you have to understand that the opposite does exist. I remember when Mandy and I first got met each other, we were first married. I thought to myself, this girl has got a serious case of the Andes. It's always going to be like this. The opposite exists. She still got a case of the Andes, but you know. The opposite exists. But what you got to understand then is that for the desert area in your life, the opposite exists. You got to hear this now. This is vital, because if you don't get this, you can't go forward. The desert area in your life, you have to be aware. You have to understand that the opposite exists. For every desert, there is a promised land. For every desert, there is a promised land. And that promised land is a time and space where fullness dwells. I don't care how bad your marriage is. I don't care how much it's in shambles. I want you to know that the fullness does exist. I don't care how bad your finances are. I want you to know the fullness does exist. I don't care how astray your children are. I want you to know the fullness does exist. For every desert represented here today, there is a promised land. Amen? And that's important. Because if you don't believe in the promised land, you just begin to wonder. Now, when I take a look at a study like this, I always want to find a biblical character that I can connect with. Someone that can show me the way. I want to find someone who has this dualistic tension, who can show me the way out. And I don't think there's a better character to study regarding this topic than Abram. Abram, the father of our faith. Abram. Abram was a man who heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of Yahweh, the sound of a thousand rushing waters. And he left his homeland, everything that he knew, to go on a journey with God. And over a course of time, God gave him back everything and more. Except Abram and Sarah had no child. And he has the blessings of the Lord. His household is established. He's prosperous. He has the blessings of the Lord. Yet, at the same time, he has a desert area in his life. He has the blessings of the Lord, and he recognizes the blessings of the Lord, but his heart aches for for the desert area in his life. In fact, there's a conversation that God initiates with Abram. And he says, Abram, do not be sad. Do not be afraid, for I am your great reward. I am your shield. And Abram says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me as I still remain childless? What Abram is saying is, I have everything. I have everything. I don't need anything else. What can you give me? Nothing's going to fill me. I am simply aching for my desert area to be fulfilled. God takes Abram outside and he says, look at all the stars in the sky. Your descendants will be like the stars in the sky, and you will be a father of many nations. And in that moment, God repositioned Abram to Abraham and said, you will have a new identity. You will be a father to many nations. And you got to understand that in this moment of perplexity, what happens is so rich that we call Abraham the father of our faith. Because in that moment, Abraham heard the word of God, believed the word of God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Do you know how amazing this is? Listen, Abraham and Sarah at this time were about 75, 80 years old. Abraham and Sarah's body was broken. There was no response, no performance, no life, no vitality, no reproduction. There was nothing. The body was dead, decayed, and broken. His body had the same elements as the desert. And there wasn't a pharmacy where he could get a magic blue pill to help him with this situation. Yet, in spite of all the anger and the bitterness and the letdown and the frustration and the brokenheartedness, in spite of all the dust from this desert area, Abraham still believed that the possibility of the other side did exist. And that belief was accredited to him as righteousness. Now follow me, because Abraham's just going to be our prototype. He's just our pattern. So what happened next? As this was accredited to him righteousness, Abraham then goes into a covenant relationship with God, a new relationship with God, where a promise now is exchanged. And as a promise is exchanged, a new identity is casted to Abraham. He says, you went from Abram to Abraham because you are going to be a father of many nations. Your identity is changing because of the promise. You're going to look different. They're going to identify you differently because of the promise. Because you are going to be the father of many nations. And as that identity was promised, this is where it gets super radical. God says, I want you to be circumcised as a sign and a seal of your belief. I want you to be circumcised. Now, circumcision didn't create the belief. Circumcision was the sign and seal that the belief already existed in Abraham's heart. Okay? Paul in Romans chapter 5 makes that distinction to the Jews. He says, Abraham was not righteous because of circumcision. He was righteous because he believed. All right? And that circumcision was, in fact, the distinction of his belief. Now, Abraham's just our prototype, and we're going to go somewhere. Amen? Abraham is the father of our faith, and he is a prototype, and he is a pattern. ladies and gentlemen, he's even a pattern for our Christianity. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and in that belief, it is accredited to us righteousness, not because of what we did, but because of what Christ did. In that, we have a new covenant relationship. The promises that are held within Christ are ours because we are a new creation, a new identity, and we rest in him. Amen? In that, we have this seal. It is not a seal of circumcision. It is the seal of the love and power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is a prototype. It is a pattern for even Christianity. So Abraham, with a heart of belief, then circumcises himself as a signal and a sign and a seal that he believed God. Now, why is it not the other way around? Why is circumcision not the front runner to belief? Why do we not circumcise the flesh? Why do we not sacrifice the flesh in order to get belief? The reason's easy. The process is so painful that if you don't have a heart of belief, you'll never go through it. If you didn't have, if Abraham did not believe God completely, he would have never gone through the painful process of having the distinction of belief. If God said, Andrew, I want you to be circumcised, I'd be like, now look, see. We need to, I think I believe, I'm pretty sure I'm like 80% there. No, you will never go through the process of dealing with your flesh until your heart fully believes. And Abraham's heart was full of belief to the point that he carried out the seal, the distinction of faith. Y'all with me this morning? How many of you want to overcome the desert area in your life? Say amen. Oh, how many of you want to overcome the desert area in your life? Say amen. 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 Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, the distinction of belief. Let me catch you up to speed in our timeline. Now Abraham's descendants are as numerous as the stars, and they were in bondage to Egypt for 400 years, mistreated and abused. They were not their own. They were slaves for 400 years. And God supernaturally exiles them from their bondage, from their slavery. And they crossed the Red Sea. And in crossing the Red Sea, God did a miraculous act in such a way that it was undeniable that the hand of God was upon the Israelites' life. Could you say that it's undeniable, the fact that you're here today, that the hand of God is upon your life? And God brings them to the promised land, and they stand on the edge of the promised land, and God shows them all that he has for them. Yet, in that moment, their heart could not believe. The Bible says that the Israelites held the Lord in contempt because they did not believe. They did not believe in his goodness. They did not believe in his love. They did not believe. They did not believe. The Israelites did not believe. And so for 40 years, they wandered the desert, the dry, the death, the decay, no life, no vitality, no growth. They wandered for 40 years. And in 40 years, God killed an entire generation of unbelief. God purged in 40 years unbelief from the heart of Israel. Amen? And now they cross the Jordan. And they have this new leader, Joshua. Moses is gone. Joshua is the new leader. They have a whole generation, a new generation of Israelites that have belief in their heart. And they are standing on the edge of the promised land. And they are so tired and weary of wandering the desert. They said to themselves, no matter what, we will fight and go forward. And what stood before them was the walls of Jericho, the city of Jericho. And they had to defeat this vast city, and this behind this vast city was the entire promised land. The destruction of this city would unlock the promised land for the Israelites. And as they mustered up all their men and as they were ready to go into battle, God froze them in the act. And he said, every male from this generation must be circumcised. See, what you got to understand is the men that went from Egypt were already circumcised, but the men who were born in the desert during the 40 years, they were not circumcised. They were not circumcised. And so as they crossed the Jordan, and before they get into this great battle that was going to unlock their promised land, God says to them, you will carry the distinction of belief before you go into battle. You know what's amazing about this, again, is that this distinction of belief didn't create belief in the heart. It was the seal and a sign that the belief already existed in the heart of the Israelites. And where did this belief come from? The belief in the heart of the Israelites came in the desert. The belief that was required, the belief that was required to pursue and obtain the blessings of the promised land were afforded to the Israelites in the desert. In the desert, God killed unbelief. And in the desert, God created belief. What you have to understand is there's a measure of belief that is required for you to obtain the promises and blessings that God has for you in your desert area. And he will not move you into the promised land until your heart is full of belief to the point that you're able and willing to carry the distinction of belief. Are you with me this morning? God says, my holy nation, my chosen people, will not go into battle in my name and unlock the promises that I have for them unless they carry the distinction of belief. See, I talk to a lot of different people, and a lot of different people tell me a lot of different things. I don't know if I, you know, I'm like a priest. People come up to me and they tell me their life story. And in the middle of it, they'll be like, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I'm like, I don't know either, but, you know, they just keep telling me everything. I mean, I'll be at Kroger's buying cottage cheese, and people come up to me, and I got a mole on my shoulder. And then by the next thing, like 20 minutes later, I can tell you their social security number, you know, how many movies they have late at the video store. They tell me every detail of their life, all right? And I was talking with someone not too long ago, and they're talking to me about how bad their marriage was. They spent like 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, telling me about how bad their spouse was. Everything their spouse did and every reason why they had a bad marriage was because of their spouse. And I asked this person, I said, let me ask you a question. If God could walk into this room and supernaturally touch your marriage where you would have the best marriage possible, would you want it?
I don't know.
See, the problem is we complain about the desert land so much. But the truth is that we probably don't have the belief it takes to even receive the blessings that the Lord has for us. And the desert area of our life exists because God is trying to build belief in our heart. Amen? You know what's so amazing about this is that in the desert, the Israelites were not circumcised, right? What you have to understand is that in the desert, you really don't deal with the flesh as much as you do the heart. See, the problem is when you're in the desert, you think that you're there because you have issues with your flesh. Right? Well, if I can just get my stuff together, then maybe God can bless me. The problem is that the desert, you don't deal with the flesh. The desert, you deal with the heart. And see, the flesh follows the heart. If it was the other way around, then we'd do circumcision first, and that would create belief. But it's not that way. It's the other way around. The desert is designed to rewire your heart for belief. In doing so, your flesh will follow. I think sometimes we concentrate too much on the flesh and forget about the condition of our heart. Right? In Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, it says something super interesting to me. After they performed the distinction of belief, God said this to the Israelites. He said, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt off of you." The reproach of Egypt is now off of you. The reproach of Egypt was the fact that the Israelites were in bondage for 400 years. For 400 years, they were slaves to their situation. No hope. They were beaten. They were broken. They were bruised. They were destroyed. They were desperate. They were depressed. They were everything. Because they were in bondage to the Egyptians. And so when God took them through the Red Sea, and the first time he brought them to the Promised Land, the reason why they couldn't accept it is because of the reproach that was on them from Egypt. Your desert area can give you this sense of reproach. That you're not free, that you're broken, that you're bruised, there's no hope, you are not your own. This desert area seems to own you. And when the Israelites finally got to the place where they had belief in their heart, to the point that they carried out the distinction of belief, God says, now, all of that bondage, all of that mental blocking, all of that heart condition is off of my people. The reproach is now rolled away. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where you're at, but I will tell you that life is compiled of dualistic tensions between blessings and promises and the fullness of God, yet at the same time having this desert area reality in our life. The problem is that so many people will say to themselves, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I have this. I don't know why this exists. And instead of taking a look at it through spiritual awareness, they want to make themselves out to be a victim of random circumstances. This happens to me because XYZ. And I'm not saying that that might not be the case. I will tell you that Abraham and Sarah would stand before you and say, we were victims of bad circumstances and our bodies were broken. But nonetheless, we believed God. Ladies and gentlemen, the darkness will always precede the blessing. The darkness will always come before the blessing. And so the desert area in our life may actually be the area in which God is using to process our hearts so that we can actually receive the very blessings and promises that he has for us. The desert area in our life is the very area that God is using, the tool that he is using to process our heart so that we will have more belief. It's like that person, if God could supernaturally touch your marriage, would you accept it? Or is there still too much reproach on you? And the desert area is designed to kill unbelief. Now this is the close, and this is the key to it all. And listen to me, and listen to me well. You cannot stand in no man's land with God and expect to obtain the promises that he has for your life. You cannot stand in no man's land with God and expect to have the fullness that he has for your life. See, so many people want to hold this desert area as a grudge against God. They don't value it. They don't see it as maybe a process that God is using, that they're in. And so they distance themselves with God and they get to this place where there are no man's land. And in that place, you will never have the fullness that he has for you. Ladies and gentlemen, the desert areas of our life, they do exist. The truth is that you will wander that desert until your dying day unless you begin to believe. And God says, I will bring you to a place that will unlock your promised land. But you must carry the distinction of belief. Amen? Y'all get anything out of this today? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. This is your challenge. The challenge for you is this. It's simple. I want every single one of you not to respond in a moment coming up to an altar. I really think that's too easy. The true response is this. You have to get connected to God. And moving out of this no man's land is simple. You have to get connected to him and his holy word. And I challenge every single one of you this week to read at least 15 minutes every day in the word of God. I also challenge every single one of you this week to pray every day for 15 minutes. I always start off, I ask God to forgive me. Sometimes that will take 15 minutes. Then I thank God for the blessings that he has given to me. Then I praise him for who he is. And then I speak that which is not as though it were, and I begin to have faith and call those things that are not into my life. 15 minutes. Next week, when we have praise and worship, I challenge you to come into the house of God prepared. Prepared. We'll tailgate at a football party, and we want to be prepared before the game. I don't want us to come into the house of God lethargic next week. I don't want us to come into the house of God as if this is robotic, as this is just part of my calendar week. I want you to come into the house of God with this thought, that God is the creator of the heavens and earth. The word of God says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Understand this, that your worship, that your praise, that your hands lifted high, that your mind's attuned, that your hearts cry out. When you do that with God, it brings him pleasure. So next week we come in prepared. And I promise you, if you get into your word and you get into that presence every day and you come into the house of God next week, you will be moving closer to obtaining the promises that he has for you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this great day. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're a good God. I thank you that your promises are so. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch every heart and every mind here today and usher them to a closer relationship with you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.